Welcome to the Amazing with Grace podcast, a spiritually relevant space for people like you who want to be excellent but not perfect. I am your host, Dr. Q Perry, a board-certified and Christian psychologist based in Dallas, Texas. Although I want this show to be a helpful and inspirational resource for you, it is not meant to substitute for a relationship or treatment with a licensed mental health provider. For more information and additional resources, please visit our website at www.amazingwithgrace.com. Let's get into the show. Hey, welcome to or back to another episode of the Amazing with Grace podcast. How are you feeling today? We are just at the top of May, and so I know that many of you either are in school or you might be teaching or both, or you might have kids who are in school. So I know that this time of year is really busy with either wrapping things up if you are in post-secondary school, or winding things down if you are in or teach grade school, or if your kids are in grade school. So I hope all of that is ending smoothly for you. And many of us are also in the second quarter of our business goals, our career goals. And so I hope your journey is also going smoothly. And if it's not, I pray that you have divine wisdom on how to get things back on track. As you can tell by today's topic, we will be talking about closing the door on getting closure. Life can throw us some hard situations that really can shatter our world. And usually when we are in a situation where we desire closure, it's those situations that we didn't see coming. This can be the death of a loved one or friend, being fired or laid off from a job unexpectedly. But usually when we talk about getting closure, it's usually in the context of a romantic relationship, such as a breakup, a divorce, or even being ghosted. And it's those hard situations that can leave us shattered, confused, sad, angry, shocked, even traumatized. And we desperately want to understand what in the world happened. What went wrong? How did we get here? Our brains don't really do too well with gray area. And so we try to fill in the blanks, or we desperately try to get answers. But the problem with that is that we may never get those answers, or we may not get them in the time that we need or want them. And so our brains try to do something to sort out that ambiguity, but it's not always healthy for us when we search for closure in a way that prevents us from moving on. So what is closure anyway? Well, there's a social psychologist by the name of Ari Puglensky. I hope I didn't butcher his name too much. He's done a lot of research on need for closure, and he defined closure as an individual's desire for a firm answer to a question, any firm answer, as opposed to confusion and or ambiguity. So in a nutshell, closure is a desire to get answers so you can move on. Now I want you to pay attention to that phrase, move on. Getting answers so you can move on. Is that how you define closure? Is that what you're looking for? Is some answers so that you can move on? I want you to really stop and ask yourself, how do I define closure? And why do I think I need it? What is it about me that makes me think that I need this closure in order to move on? Well, we have to take into consideration our personality, our temperament, our self-esteem even, our previous experiences. So there's not one thing that explains why you want or need closure. It can be a lot of things. For example, if you're a person who typically is structured and you like to have a lot of answers, you like to make sense of things, you like to get as much data as you can so that you can make sound decisions moving forward, then you might struggle with not having closure. If you're a person who can't make decisions until you have all the answers, then you might struggle from not having closure. If you're a person who typically goes with the flow, you're easily adaptable, you may not need or want closure as much. So you have to even take that into consideration when other people tell you just to move on. So if you're a person who really needs answers and tries to understand everything, but your friend or family member is telling you just move on, well, it may not be that easy for you. So I'm glad that you have tuned in today, because I really want to talk to you today about closing the door on getting closure. Maybe you're a person whose self-esteem is not where you'd like it to be. And so when a situation comes up in a romantic relationship where it has ended, or it's just maybe on pause, you're not sure exactly what's going on, it's a situationship, this might actually confirm some things that you're already thinking. Or maybe you're a person whose self-esteem has been really high in the past, and this one situation has just shattered your confidence and you're trying to understand things. There's lots of different explanations for why we need or want closure. But I want to make this point. Most of the time when we are really anxious and we're emotionally distressed, we can feel helpless and out of control, and we don't make the best decisions. So if you have recently broken up with someone, or if someone has recently broken up with you and you want closure, or if you've been broken up or divorced for a while or separated for a while and you're still waiting for closure, I want to talk to you about why you should consider closing the door on getting closure. So before we jump in, go ahead and grab your pen and paper or open the notes app on your phone. Grab a drink and let's get started. The first reason that I want you to consider closing the door on getting closure is because our assumptions about the benefit of getting closure are usually incorrect. We usually make the assumption that we will feel a certain way if we get closure. Now, if you've listened to several of my podcast episodes, you know I talk a lot about effective forecasting. And this is where we predict how we will feel after a particular event happens. And so when it comes to closure, we usually assume that we're going to have so much peace, we're going to have so much understanding, that it's going to take away our anger, that it's going to take away our confusion. Usually, those closure conversations don't give you that nice, pretty bow that you expect. It often leads to more questions and more emotions. Let me give you an example. Let's say I've been dating this guy, and as far as I know, things are going great. We're working towards a relationship, and I'm thinking that we are both on the same page. Well, let's say maybe after a while, he starts to fade away. He starts to not communicate as much. We're not spending as much time together. So let's say during this quote-unquote closure conversation, he says, "It's me and it's not you. I'm just not ready for a relationship," right? If I go into this conversation thinking that I am going to have so much peace and understanding, just whatever the answer is, I just want to know, I really don't think that I would walk away from a conversation like this feeling very peaceful. What about you? I imagine that I would have even more questions. Then I would start trying to replay everything in my head. What did I miss? What did he say? Does he really mean what he said? Does he really not want a relationship? Should I check his social media to see if there's anybody else? So the point I'm making here is that our assumptions about the benefits of getting closure are usually incorrect. Now, number 2 and 3 kind of go hand in hand. And that's waiting for closure can keep you powerless, and waiting for closure can keep you stuck. We have to remember that we are responsible for our own mental wellness. And I think that getting closure can be an illusion because it keeps you stuck and it keeps you waiting for your healing. And the power is in the other person's hands. And this is based on factors like, do they want to talk to you? Are they ignoring you? Have they ghosted you altogether? Or maybe they do want to talk, but maybe they are not emotionally and spiritually equipped to know what's going on or what happened. Maybe they don't have the communication skills to tell you exactly how they feel or how you made them feel. And so this means either way, if they want to talk to you, you may not get the answers that you truly need. And if they don't want to talk to you, you still won't get the answers that you truly need. But guess what that does for you? It keeps you stuck and it keeps you powerless. It keeps you waiting for the other person to have some desire to talk to you, or waiting for the other person to tell you why they made certain decisions. And to me, waiting for closure creates misery, right? These situations are usually emotionally upsetting in and of themselves, but when we are stuck and waiting for closure, it can take our pain to suffering. Now, let me just put this out here. I know that when it comes to relationships where there are children involved or there's business types of decisions that have to be made, I know that you actually do have to talk to this person to make decisions. So when I talk about closing the door on getting closure, I'm not talking about those kinds of things, right? So those kinds of conversations, they just have to happen. There's just no way around those things. What I'm speaking on is more of the posture of your heart and your mind with regards to wanting to get closure before you can move on with your life. The fourth consideration for closing the door on getting closure is that our emotions can misguide us into faulty thinking. Here's what I mean. Our emotions can be so strong that they feel true, and they can misguide our judgment. And in those times, our motives are not always what's best for us. For example, sometimes we might say things like, I just want to get feedback. Like, I just want to understand so that I can be better for myself and I can be better for the next person. But if your emotions are still raw, are you really in a place to receive from the other person and truly benefit from it? Usually, whatever they have to say, it can hurt you, it can enrage you, it can further confuse you, because again, your emotions are running so high. Let's say you were in a relationship with somebody and you get feedback that you don't really know how to set boundaries with your family, and that's what made the relationship end. Well, that might actually be true, but if your emotions are so high, you might get really offended by that comment, and you might respond with, oh, well, I didn't know you didn't like my family. I didn't know you didn't like my mom, and I'm never going to choose between you or my family. I'm never going to turn them down. Well, maybe down the line, once your emotions settle, you might start to realize, maybe I should start drawing more firm boundaries with my mom, with my dad, with my family. But if you are in a place where your emotions are running high, you're not really in a position to receive the feedback that you think you're ready to receive. And sometimes we might also tell ourselves things like, I just want closure so I can move on. But really, in our hearts, we're saying, I just want to see what I can do to fix this. And I see all those articles and videos about how to get your ex back, and I cringe because it seems so manipulative, because fixing it may not be what's best for you. Fixing it and trying to get your ex back may not be what's best for the other person. So I'm saying all that to say that our emotions can misguide us into faulty thinking. So now that I've given you these four considerations for closing the door on getting closure, I want to give you four strategies that you can do right now. And this first one, as you probably already know, is to pray. Prayer will help you discern the difference between what you really need versus what you want. I might really want an apology, but I don't need it. I might really want answers, but I don't need those answers to move on. Let me encourage you by sharing a scripture in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 5. The Passion Translation says, "My fellow believers, when it seems as though you are facing nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can. For you know that when your faith is tested, it stirs up power within you to endure all things. And then as your endurance grows even stronger, it will release perfection into every part of your being until there is nothing missing and nothing lacking. And if anyone longs to be wise, ask God for wisdom and he will give it. He won't see your lack of wisdom as an opportunity to scold you over your failures, but he will overwhelm your failures with his generous grace." That's such a beautiful passage of scripture, and I think it fits really well, especially when we are desperately wanting closure. We're desperately looking for answers. But I say, instead of focusing on getting answers from that other person, turn to God in prayer, and he can give you wisdom and discernment. The second strategy is to probe. Probe means check the motivations of your heart. So remember I was saying not too long ago about how we can tell ourselves, oh, I just want closure, but really deep down inside, we're trying to see what we need to do to fix it. Or I just want closure, but really what we want is an apology. We want an apology. We want them to feel guilty so that we can manipulate their thinking. We can manipulate their decisions. Checking the motivations of your heart can also help you understand whether you're trying to find meaning or find answers. And there's a difference. When I talk about finding meaning or making meaning versus finding answers or making sense means you're trying to understand from that person's point of view, which is not wrong per se. But again, remember, there's so many other factors that go into why people do what they do, and you may not ever understand. You may not ever agree with the decisions that they've made or are making. And so instead, our goal is to make meaning of this. How can I find value in this situation that will benefit me, whether I agree with it, whether I understand it or not? So we're going to pray, we're going to probe. We're also going to pause. And the reason why pausing is important is because now is not the time to jump into a new relationship. That's not fair to you, and it's not fair to the new person. And now is also not the time to jump back into a relationship with that person or into the same rhythm with that person. So we are praying, we are probing, we are pausing, and we are processing. Processing is a very critical strategy because this is going to help you with your narrative. Remember how I talked about how our brains don't really like the gray area? Well, we typically draw our own conclusions. Well, this relationship ended because I'm just not that good of a person. Or this person ghosted me because physically I just don't measure up to what he likes. Or she decided to divorce me because I am a horrible husband. I'm not that great of a dad. And it's usually these types of situations that trigger some things that are already in us. So it's not to say that this other person is horrible and you're perfect, or it's not to say that you are a horrible person and they're perfect. We're all flawed. But it's these kinds of situations that I like to use as a mirror. It's so uncomfortable to see those unflattering parts of ourselves, but they are so necessary for our growth. And so part of your processing is to help you understand what is being triggered. It's going to help you with your perspective on this. And you can process through prayer. You can process through journaling. You can process through asking supportive friends for feedback. You can process with a therapist. There's lots of different ways to process. But the reason why processing is so important is because it's going to help you with your perspective. It's going to keep you from glamorizing yourself or your ex. It's going to keep you from demonizing yourself or the other person. It's going to keep you from glamorizing or demonizing the relationship or your experience with that person, right? Because doesn't it make sense how we typically say things like, oh my God, this dealing with this person was a complete waste of my time? Or we might get stuck waiting for closure thinking, oh my God, this is the best person I've ever had and I'm never going to find anyone who loves me the way that this person does. And so processing is going to help you with your perspective where it can be more balanced. Yes, this person has these great qualities. Yes, you have these great qualities. Yes, the relationship was great. But then there are also some things that are not for you or were not for the other person. Okay, so those four strategies are prayer, probing, pausing, and processing. Before we move into our prayer time, I want to give you these scriptures. I don't believe that God left us His word for head knowledge only. Now, it's great to be able to memorize scripture and quote these scriptures. But for me, what has been a tremendous help to me and many of my patients and people I counsel informally is to be able to take the word of God and make it come alive, make it so that it applies to your specific situation. So since we're talking about closure, let me give you some helpful scriptures. One is found in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, and this is a very popular passage of scripture. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 6, the NASB version says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight." I really like this scripture, especially when it comes to the idea of seeking closure, because sometimes we can get consumed with trying to figure out all the reasons, all the answers to all of our questions. And so with this scripture, it can remind us that even if we think we've got a hunch, for us not to lean on our own understanding and for us to acknowledge God and put our trust in Him. The second scripture is found in Psalm 84 and 11. It reminds us that God is not going to withhold anything good from you. As good as the situation may be, may have been, or as good as this person may be, or you have fantasized them to be, it's very sobering and stabilizing to know that if this ended, that God is not going to withhold anything good from you. It doesn't mean that this person is bad. It doesn't mean that this person is evil. It just means that it's not good for you either right now or at all. And so we have to trust when God says that He's not going to withhold anything good from us. Psalm chapter 34, verse 18 is also encouraging. In verse 18, we find the popular scripture where it says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and He saves those who are crushed in spirit." This is really helpful when you are just feeling so down and feeling so sad, and rightfully so. I'm definitely not encouraging you to minimize your feelings at all. You feel the feelings, and then you draw close to God. God understands. God wants to be with you as you go through your healing. So Psalm 34 and 18 is another very helpful scripture. Psalm 27 verse 14 says, "Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord." And that was the NASB version. The Passion Translation says, "Here's what I've learned through it all. Don't give up. Don't be impatient. Be entwined as one with the Lord. Be brave and courageous and never lose hope. Yes, keep on waiting, for He will never disappoint you." What I like about this scripture is that we're going to have to wait anyway, right? So while you're waiting for closure, instead of waiting for the other person to give you closure or waiting for the right opportunity for you to create your own closure, this scripture reminds us that we can wait on the Lord. We can have patience and not try to fix the situation. We can have patience and not try to rush our healing. So I hope that these four scriptures have been helpful to you. I will be sure to put them in the show notes. I hope something that I've covered very briefly today gives you at least a new perspective as you are waiting for closure. I don't want you to get stuck waiting for an apology. I don't want you to get stuck waiting to try to understand what's going on. If you happen to get that closure, great. But for many people, closure either does not come at all, or it does not come at the time that we expect for it to come. So I want you to decide that you're moving on and do just that. Don't get stuck waiting for closure. Let us move now into our prayer time. Father God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for the opportunity to gather with each listener on this podcast. I pray for healing. I pray for wholeness. I pray that there has been a word of deliverance that has been given today on this podcast. I pray for each listener's heart. I pray that you give them an overwhelming sense of peace and give them the boldness to move on. They don't have to wait to get closure to live their lives. You said in your word that you have good plans for our lives, plans to give us hope and a future. And so we don't have to wait to get closure in order to get that future. Thank you for being near to us when we are brokenhearted. Thank you for being a healer. Thank you for understanding what we are going through. And thank you for being our friend. And it's in your son's name that we pray. Amen. Well, that is all that I have for us today. I pray that you continue to be amazing with grace. Until next time, take care.